Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Hi, my name is Kirk. First time I ever attended Life Church. I came to the 2018 Holy Spirit Conference. I work as a corrections officer for the last almost 15 years, and I'm surrounded every day pretty much by nothing but negativity. And over so many years, it began to harden my heart. My heart was filled with a lot of hate, a lot of thoughts of just death and no happiness. I came to the Holy Spirit Conference with family and friends, and the first 30 seconds of that Holy Spirit Conference, I felt like I had to run because I felt like I wasn't worthy of being here. I didn't feel like I fit in with the people and everybody's happiness and joy. But God wouldn't let me run. I physically could not move my feet. And by the time I would say that that third night of the Holy Spirit Conference was done, I felt like God had reached down and grabbed a hold of me, a gut punched me, and told me no more, that my life was gonna change. At one point, I found myself on the floor, on my knees, just crying my eyes out. I was led to Pastor Ken, who laid hands on me that night. And from that point on, it completely changed my life. And I almost physically felt something be removed from my heart, like a shroud or just even something that felt like chainmail over my heart. And it felt like God began to repair my heart at that point and fill it with love instead of this hate that I had. I felt like I was just becoming a new person. The Holy Spirit Conference completely changed my life, and I met people who pushed me forward to be a better, person as to who I am, to fall in love with the Lord. He reached out and basically found me. I thought I was a lost soul, that this is how I was gonna live the rest of my life. That's just a negative person. But God said no more. And the Holy Spirit Conference and Life Church has completely changed my life. I feel like I'm in the arms and love of God. And forever now, I see things completely different and I feel like I can move forward.
Good morning, everybody. How are you today? Everybody's good? You're doing all right? You have your Bibles today? Yeah? Do you have your notebooks? All right, let's get ready. We're going to jump right in this. Really excited about the Holy Spirit Conference coming up. That's next weekend. Also, just to kind of keep it in your mind, we have a guest worship leader throughout the whole weekend, not just the conference. Leon Timbo will be back with us for all of our Sunday services, so you'll want to make sure you're here for that, as well as for the evening services. But I wanted to encourage you to set those days aside, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. We're going to jump into the scripture here, but I wanted to invite you. I just came back from Israel this last week. It's my first time going. I'm going to be touching some things in my message today about what the Lord spoke to me while I was there. Forgive me, I'm battling a little bit of a cold that I think I picked up as a little free gift on my way home from Israel in the airplane. They were giving them away with the peanuts. It was awesome. So forgive me if I'm a little cloudy, but it was life-changing for me to see the scriptures come to life, something I've preached my entire life, but to stand in some of those places. And I really felt compelled to make this a part of the culture of the church, and that's to bring those who desire to go to Israel to Israel. And so I think we're going to be doing that pretty much consistently, maybe once a year or so. If you're interested in going on a trip to Israel, Pastor Ken has all the information for you at the information booth in the lobby. There's a trip actually going into September, early October next year. So if that's something you want to start praying about, believing God for the resources for, I'd really encourage you to go out there and get the information and take that journey yourself. So today I'm going to share some things over the next few weeks. I'll unpack a few more things. But I really believe it's all the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. You know that? And so there's certain times and seasons in your life of when things happen for a reason. And God has for such a time as this certain messages for you. And so I really believe today as well, preparing you for the Holy Spirit Conference, I have one of those messages for you today. Go ahead and grab your Bibles if you would. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible. And I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. Open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Today I want to talk to you about two words. You can write them in your notes. Two words. Alignment and adjustment. Alignment and adjustment. I actually went on the trip to Israel with 30 other pastors, and this was a word the Lord was talking to us about the entire time. And the reason I say that is I don't want you to think of alignment and adjustment as always dealing with sin and great darkness in our lives. Have you ever been to a chiropractor? Anybody ever been to a chiropractor? Yeah. And they help bring you into alignment, right? Because through the bumps of life, through the twists and turns, the little falls and trips of life, things can get out of alignment. And that's kind of what happens in our lives. Life is a constant state of kind of bumps and bruises and figuring things out as you go. And it's not as if they get you into alignment and you just stay there, right? We're constantly needing to be realigned. And it's important that we take days like today and we say, Lord, if anything's out of alignment, put me back into alignment again. Because if something is out of order, it doesn't work right. You ever go up to a vending machine or some sort of a, you know, something, you're trying to get something out of it, and it doesn't work right. It's out of order. But once it's been placed back into order, everything works right. And I want us to see today and kind of embrace this idea that pretty consistently we need God to align us. That doesn't make you bad. It doesn't make you a sinner. But when you're out of alignment, what happens is you're experiencing certain pains and issues in your life that you don't need to if you would just let God put you back in alignment. Is that good? I mean, some of us are stubborn. I don't know about you, but I'm stubborn. When my back's out of alignment, I don't want to take the time to go to the chiropractor because that extra hour or 30 minutes or whatever it's going to take, I'm just too busy for it, right? Until the pain gets so bad that someone actually needs to drag me to the chiropractor because they're tired of me acting like a baby at home. No names will be said there. But some of us are that way even with the Lord. Things are out of alignment and we're living in undue, unnecessary pain and pressure because we're just not letting the Holy Spirit put us back into alignment again. And what happens is sometimes when things are out of alignment, then we begin to compensate in other areas of our lives. We're putting a whole lot more stress in other areas of our lives that doesn't need to be there. Are you understanding this today? So today in talking about alignment and adjustment, this is not one of those things that's about shame and guilt and condemnation. It's about one of those things that's just, it's a healthy thing to get you into a position. And so today the Holy Spirit's aligning us so that we're functioning in 100% so that we can receive all that God has for you next week. You know, the Holy Spirit conference next week is something I really look forward to. I look forward to it because I want to get filled up 100%. I want God to speak to me on levels that are beyond what I've ever heard. I don't know where your expectation is, but that's my expectation. My expectation is next week's going to change my life, and I'm the pastor of the church. Come on now. But I also know if I go into next week out of alignment, I may not hear or receive what God's talking about because I'm not in working order, right? So we take this week to get aligned so next week we can get filled. Come on now. Are you ready today? Absolutely. Now, this is something the Lord was talking to all of us pastors about while we were in Israel. God took me to Israel to get me in alignment, which is, I thank you, Lord, but I must have been seriously out of alignment, you know. Last Sunday, I had the privilege of actually ministering on this idea at the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. I have a couple pictures. Don't worry, I won't take you through a whole slideshow of my trip. But I do have a couple of pictures. I think they'll begin to put them up. I had all the pastors there, and they asked me, I was so humbled to be able to communicate and preach to them, right in that spot where Jesus preached what we call the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Very familiar passage of Scripture. And so I want to share with you from the Sermon on the Mount what I shared with them and what God, I think, is speaking to all of us at this time. So Matthew chapter 5, this is the Sermon on the Mount, part of the Beatitudes, verse 3 through 12. Are you there? Jesus speaking, he says, God blesses those who are poor. Now, just to kind of put this in context, this is a hillside. It's about 5 to 15,000 people in attendance there, okay? God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, your Bible may say righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you. They say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember the ancient prophets, they were all persecuted in the same way. The Bible goes on for the next three chapters, and Jesus begins to align. What I want you to see in that passage of Scripture is Jesus, in each of these thoughts, and many more to come throughout those three chapters, is aligning their perspective. They were thinking one way, and he was saying, think this way. And in thinking this way, you're going to receive the blessing. Again, this wasn't about condemning them or rebuking them for a life that's not in order, or like a life that's in sin. But he was saying, hey, I want you to see something in this. I want you to see that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness because they're going to be filled. So if you're not hungering and thirsting for righteousness, you won't receive the blessing of being filled. And so he was just trying to help put them in order so they could be filled. See, all of these adjustments, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see God. So Jesus is saying, hey, get yourself into a position of humility so that you can see the kingdom of God, so that you can be blessed. Again, not a rebuke, not, hey, you dirty, rotten sinner, but in life, sometimes we get out of alignment. Our thoughts are not his thoughts, our ways are not his ways. And so he's saying, hey, come up here, take my thoughts, take my ways, adopt them, exchange yours for mine, and that'll put you in order, put you in alignment so you can be blessed. Do you see that? And so this entire three chapters, Jesus is giving them revelation on the insights of the kingdom of heaven, how it operates, how it works, how you can receive the fullness of what God has for you. But there is this idea of coming into agreement or getting in order or getting into alignment. This is how the kingdom works. And if you're not working like the kingdom works, then just get in alignment, in agreement, and you'll get the blessings. God wants to pour out his blessings upon you. These alignments and these adjustments were all just ways of thinking, ways of looking at things. And perhaps today that's why God's brought you here. That's why God brought us to Israel. He was aligning some of our thinking in regards to the nation of Israel. He was aligning some of our thinking in regards to our part to play in prophecy. He was aligning us to come into agreement so we could live this tremendous blessed life. Not because we were terrible people, not because we were dirty, rotten sinners, but because God had more for you and for me, right? And so he puts us into alignment. So today, I want us to embrace that concept, alignment and adjustment. I want to say, God, align me today. Adjust my thoughts because I want to get into the blessed are they. I want to get into those blessings that you have. And if my thoughts are not in agreement or if I'm out of alignment, then I'd lay those thoughts down. Now, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, again, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Remember Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, in continuing these ideas in verse 22, he says this, talking about the eye of the soul. If the eye is single, or you might add the word in order, if the eye is in order, the whole body will be filled with light. That word single means focused, clear, good. And so again, Jesus is saying, hey, if you just get things in order, everything else will take care of itself. Matthew chapter 7, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, still there, verse 3 through 5. And why worry about the speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of the speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eyes. I want to pause that just for a second. Jesus is telling us that there are these ideas, these thoughts, these actions, these habits, emotions, feelings, ways of thinking in our lives that we're not seeing them. They're out of alignment. They need to be adjusted. And sometimes we sit in services like this and we're thinking about everyone else who needs to hear this message except you. I wish my husband could hear this message. My kids need to hear this message. They're out of alignment. Today, I want us to embrace the idea that you need to hear this message. When I was in Israel and God was aligning me in Israel, it wasn't God needs to align these pastors. Or man, this is a sermon I need to bring home to my congregation. God was preaching this to me. Because there, I'm not Pastor Kevin, I'm just Kevin. And I didn't realize I had a log in my face. It's so big, you can't see it. Does that make sense? You know, the interesting thing about deception, it's very deceiving. You don't see it. So it could be pride, and you don't see it. You're like, well, I'm not proud. I'm the most humble person you've ever met. Ask me. I'm humble. It could be pride. It could be greed. It could be anything. It could be so many things. And so literally by faith, we have to believe Jesus that there's potentially a log in our face right now that we're not seeing because you're not seeing it. If you saw it, wouldn't you want to get rid of it, anybody? Right? Like if I saw that I was out of alignment, I would want to get rid of it. The point is many times we don't see it. And so the scripture gives us these wonderful kind of consistent habits and disciplines that we bring into our lives where we're consistently going before God, saying, God, if there's anything, I'm out of alignment, just like the chiropractor. I assume I'm going to need to be adjusted within a couple of weeks because life's bumps and life's trips and things that happen. And so there's these moments like today where just by faith you agree with Scripture and say, Lord, is there anything that I'm out of alignment in? I'm not here to listen for somebody else right now. I'm here to listen for me. Because if I can get into alignment with you, I can live and receive the blessed life that you have for me to live. If I'm consistently staying out of alignment, no matter how much God loves me, no matter how much he paid for me to receive something, no matter how much he's eager next week for you to receive of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit conference, if I'm out of alignment, I'm out of order, and it's still not going to work. And so by faith today, I'm like, God, you ordered my steps. You brought us here so that if there's some blind spot that I'm not seeing, if there's some area of a log in my own eye, remove it, Lord. I humble myself. I come before you. I'll tell you right now where we're going. At the end of the service today, we're all just going to get before God. We're going to say, Lord, show me. Is there any area that's out of alignment in my life? Is there any adjustments that I need to be making? I believe that what you're about to do in my life is so important and so valuable, I don't want to miss it. And so I'm going to come on the operating table and say, Lord, put me into alignment today. Put me into alignment today. And you might, again, sit here and say, well, this message isn't for me. Well, if you're here today, my assumption is God's ordering your steps because it's for you more than you think. Can we just be childlike enough to say, wow, if I'm hearing this, I might need to hear this? I just want to help you see that. You don't see the log. You don't see it. You don't feel it. You're like, well, I don't feel like I'm out of alignment. I don't feel like there's a log in my face. Just by faith in the scripture, come and ask the Lord to reveal it to you so that he can help remove it from you. Again, this is not guilt. This is not, I must be a really bad person. No, this is just life. This is just what people go through. Blessed are they that just get yourself back into alignment, get into that way of thinking, his way of thinking and doing, because we sometimes pick up things that we're unaware of along the way. So God aligned me when I was there. We were actually at the Sea of Galilee for a couple of days. We stayed there. And open your Bibles to Matthew 7. This is also in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7. And we visited a Catholic training facility for missionaries, kind of like a YWAM, but for spirit-filled Catholics. And the Lord aligned me in some multiple things while I was there. But he started speaking to me when he showed me this big monument that they had there. And it was in respect to this passage of scripture, and it's called the Narrow Gate. And in Hebrew, listed on the monument is the Beatitudes that we talked about. Blessed are they that, blessed are they that. And the Lord began to speak to me about that narrow gate. And I'll just jump right to where that is in scripture, and then I'll explain kind of what he was saying to me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. And he just began to speak that phrase, the narrow gate, the narrow gate, the narrow gate. And there, like I said, there's this big monument of the narrow gate, this kind of little mock-up of what the Lord was speaking to me, kind of help you connect. And the Lord began to speak to me and ask me to get into alignment with something about getting baptized again in the River Jordan while they were there. And some of the pastors were going to be doing that, not everybody. But I had all my theology reasons of why I didn't want to get baptized again. I'd been baptized when, you know, I was a little kid in Southern California. I got saved in the Lighthouse Assembly of God. I was baptized in a watermelon tank. I was good. We used it in the 4th of July to carry watermelons, and then later we dunked the people in it. And so I had my theology of why I don't need to get baptized again. I also, you know, didn't want to just do it because I'm in Israel, you know, and people just need to do it. Just, oh, it's Israel, and da-da-da. I didn't want to just follow the crowd, and I had all these things. And yet the Lord began to deal with me about getting baptized in the Jordan. And now what I want you to see about that narrow gate is, in one way, we know that Jesus, in saying you can only enter the kingdom through the narrow way or the narrow gate, is he's talking about there's not many ways to get to heaven. There's just one way, Jesus. You're not going to get to heaven through just any old way you feel like you're going to go to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's awesome. He's saying, I need to be your Savior. Come on, someone say amen to that. And so you can say, well, I don't want Jesus. I want to be able to go to heaven and do it this way. Doesn't matter what you want. There's one way to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. And so in that way, yes, it's narrow. But what he began to speak to me about the narrow gate is it's not just about going to heaven, because when you receive Jesus as your Savior, write this in your notes, you're also asking him to be your Lord. That narrow gate stays narrow, okay? It's not like, well, I received Jesus as my Savior, and now I can just live and think and do anything I want to do. Because I was bought with a price, and so were you. And I don't belong to myself, I belong to him. And so the narrow gate now is not just saving me of my sin, but it's also the narrow gate of following his way of thinking and doing. Isn't that good? As much as that might be uncomfortable for some, it feels good to have that kind of message preached again in the United States of America. So what Jesus was talking to me about is, that, Kevin, it's a narrow gate. And just because you have an opinion that you don't need to go into that Jordan, am I the Lord or not? I'm telling you, go dip in the Jordan. And then all of a sudden, all my theology and reasonings kind of felt small. And I remembered another passage of scripture in the Old Testament of a guy named Naaman. And Naaman was this officer, and he was proud, and he came and he had a problem. He had leprosy, and he came to the prophet Elisha, and he needed healing. And Elisha told him, he said, he didn't even come see him. He just sent his servant out to talk to him and say, go dip in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman got offended, because he thought the prophet himself should have come out and waved his hand and done a miracle. But God knew what Naaman needed to help remove the log out of Naaman's eye. Are you understanding this? And Naaman was like, I have dirty rivers where I come from. Why would I come and dip in this silly river? Because God knew how to align Naaman so Naaman could be blessed. Do you see that? But Naaman, he didn't know, why do I have to do that? Why do I have to think that way? Why do I have to go through that narrow gate? Because God is saying, this is the way that will put you back in order. This is the way to get the log out of your eye. And so the narrow gate is not just about receiving Jesus as Savior, but the narrow gate is your whole life, that his ways may not be your ways, his thoughts may not be your thoughts, but I still say you're the Lord, and I'll do it if you want me to do it, whether I agree with it, whether I understand it or not. I am gonna follow my Lord. It's the narrow gate. And sometimes that's the alignment that we need. Sometimes God asks you to do things just for the sake to see if you'll continue to let him be the Lord of your life. And so he was asking me the simple thing. I shouldn't have been this big a deal. But I was kind of like, I don't want to go get baptized, because I said before I was going, I'm not going to go get baptized in the Jordan like all these other people. And of course, that's the exact thing the Lord's going to tell me to do. Because I wasn't seeing this log of pride in my life, or control, or whatever it might have been, whatever word that might have been in it. And so he began to ask me about that. God was asking me, Kevin, will you be open? You know, we've talked about above and below the line thinking. Do you remember that? Above and below the line thinking. Above the line is open, wonder, curiosity. Below the line is closed, defensive. You feel like you're already right. And in that moment, the Lord was testing me in my openness. You see, rather than saying, Lord, I wonder if I obey what you might do in my life, or what you might remove that I didn't realize needed to be removed, I'm curious about why that's going to make my life better. I'm open to it. I was more defensive of, I don't need to go get baptized again. I don't need to do that because I've already got my theology sorted. I already have my plan or my ways. And so God was trying to help me get back to being open again. Do you understand what I just said there? And so sometimes God, in aligning you, he's trying to get you back open because you're defensive over it. You're sitting there saying, I don't need to do all that. And maybe the Holy Spirit Conference is this opportunity, right? There's three nights of coming. Do you know God knows it needs to be three nights? But in our theology, in our mind, you're like, well, I'm going to pick and choose who my favorite speaker is. But you don't know which of those nights God's going to speak to you. Or maybe you need all three. Come on now. But you're just like, I got to get, you know, there's so much hassle. The kids got to go to school and I got all this work and it's so busy or whatever. Look, it's a narrow gate. And God might just be using those three nights to put a little bit of pressure in some pressure points of your life. Come on now, to move some things back into alignment again. Maybe there's a little bit of callousness that came up. Maybe there's a little bit of making too many excuses that's come into your life. Maybe there's a little bit of laziness and apathy that's come into your life. And getting you to do a little bit of extra work and effort to get here, God is going to align some things so that you can be blessed. God's not doing it for him. He's doing it for you. Amen. God knows what speakers are supposed to be here. We pray about these things. I don't know if you know that or not. It's not like we just put names in a hat. You know what I'm saying? We pray about these things. We hear the Lord on these things. We know when it's supposed to happen. We know who's supposed to be here. And so maybe God is telling you to come dip in the water three times, all three times. But again, you might already have your plan. I'm going to be out of town. Maybe you need to change that plan. Ouch. Did I say that out loud? Yeah, I did. Or maybe you can't. I get that. Maybe you can't, but maybe every night you watch live stream because God has something for you. The narrow gate, the narrow gate. There's these logs in our eyes that we don't always see. There's these things that are prohibiting us from getting into alignment with the mindset or the thoughts of God. Kevin, will you be open? Kevin, will you humble yourself? Kevin, will you admit that you want a touch from me and that you're willing to do whatever it takes to receive that touch from me again? See, sometimes we want God to do some things for us, but we're not willing to do whatever it takes to receive it, like getting into alignment. We want him to give us the blessing out of alignment. I may have had blinders on and not seen the pride, not seen the arrogance. But you know what? The Lord loves me so much that he would deal with those things so that I could receive everything he has for me in my life. Write this in your notes. All learning begins with humility. All learning begins with humility. And I needed the Lord to show me some things. I want God to continue to grow me, but I have to humble myself and say, I don't know everything. I remember some guys I was trying to mentor, and there's people who come up to me and say, Pastor Kevin, will you be my mentor? Will you disciple me? And I remember this one very specific time I was talking to this person, and I was like, well, have you thought about it this way? Or maybe this is something, and I'm trying to share some scripture and share some things. And every time I would open up some things to them, their immediate response was, well, I already know that. I already do all that. And I'm thinking to myself, then what do you need me for? But they didn't realize they were below the line. Defensive, need to be right. I'm already right. I'm already perfect. They didn't see the log that was preventing them. And I don't want to be that way. I still want to submit myself to the scripture and say, God, if I'm out of alignment, I want to know. Doesn't make me bad, doesn't make me a sinner. Just life happens, and sometimes our faith gets a little cloudy. Sometimes we get a little critical. Sometimes we get a little cold-hearted. We didn't even realize we're a little cold-hearted. Slow to believe rather than quick to believe. Come on now. And we need God to put us back into alignment again, and he's going to give you narrow gate opportunities to inconvenience yourself, to let him be the boss in the Lord, to humble yourself, to learn something. Amen. And so in going through the narrow gate, what happens is you all these opinions that I had and all these theologies and all of this stuff, the narrowness of this way, I can't take those things with me. It's almost like I wish I could describe what I see in my heart about it, but it's like it kind of peels it off. As you go that narrow gate, the opinions that you had, the attitudes, the ways of thinking, and all of a sudden you just get into alignment, and those things begin to just get like peeled like a potato, like stripped off. It's beginning to strip off by you just being obedient and just by faith. You don't even know why. How come dipping in the Jordan makes a difference? You know what I'm saying? I learned this later after I signed up to be baptized in the Jordan, talking about pride. Did you know the Jordan River is the lowest river in the world? That's where Jesus was baptized. And the Bible says that he descended. And it was like he descended and then he was baptized into the descent. He lowered himself and lowered again. Isn't that awesome? And he became a servant. And that baptism in the Jordan, it was like, Kevin, get off your high horse. That's what he was doing to Naaman. Naaman, get off your high horse and get into the lowest position on the planet. I didn't know I needed that, Lord, but I guess I did. Isn't that powerful? Powerful stuff. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourself underneath the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. It's your job to humble yourself before the Lord. I humble myself by obeying his lordship. I humble myself by going through the narrow gate and aligning to his ways of thinking, his ways of doing, to doing what he's asking me to do, even if they're not something I want to do or I think is necessary, but God is calling me to do it. There are some things God is trying to bless you with, that God is trying to bless me with. And I finally was ready enough to make the changes and to align myself and adjust. And sometimes that just has to happen. I don't know about you, but sometimes you get to a place where you're just so desperate for the next thing God has for you, you're finally ready to go through the narrow gate. You've heard it. It's been prophesied to you. It's been promised to you many times. You can see it. God has this life, God has these things for me, but you know what? There are certain attitudes, or there's certain habits, or there's certain things I haven't been willing to do the work, DTW, for. But I finally to the place where I'm ready to go through the narrow gate and to do it the way God has been calling you to do it. God has been calling you to increase in certain levels. Maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe it's your time in the Word. Maybe it's getting discipleship. Maybe it's other things God's calling you to do, like go back to school or get organized or get out of debt or whatever. And the Spirit of the Lord has been talking to you. The Lord has been talking to you, not just to suggest things, but he's trying to give you the blessed are they that. And if you do that, he's going to bring you that blessing. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about going to heaven. Praise God we get to go to heaven. But there are things in this world that if we're out of alignment, no matter how much God loves you, he can't pour that blessing on you. Even if he did, it wouldn't work because you're out of alignment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so maybe there's some people, it's time to apologize, and you're finally ready to apologize because you're sick of living below what you see God has promised. You're sick of living, and you're in that area, in that place of disobedience or being out of alignment, and you're finally desperate and ready to say, God, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll even get dunked in a dirty river. Or I'll even go to 3 services of a Holy Spirit conference. Or I'll even start making a commitment to be faithful to coming to church more consistently or having a prayer life or whatever it is, because you're finally ready. There are people that say they're ready, but they're not. They say it with their mouth, but they're not ready to follow the narrow gate. They're not ready to make the sacrifices and the choices and to humble themselves and to do what God is calling them to do. But when you finally, that place comes where you're finally ready, you're finally desperate enough to finally obey God and to do what he's been calling you to do, and you go through that narrow gate and you get into alignment and you see the blessing of the Lord being poured out. Again, all these alignments, these beatitudes, they were not a rebuke. They were an opportunity to receive. They were an opportunity to receive. You know, sometimes things that align us, you can, write this down, you can align yourself by choice. You can make a decision and just say, I'm going to align. I see it. I see the log. If that's possible, maybe you see some areas. So I would suggest if you see anything out of alignment, then you just by choice get in alignment. But sometimes, and this is something the Lord's been teaching me, and you can see it through Scripture, consistently you'll see it through Scripture, adversity and resistance will also help you align. Now, I'm not saying God causes the stuff. But, you know, sometimes what happens in adversity and resistance, when you're pushing and you're pressing, sometimes that adversity and resistance actually helps you finally get to that place where you're willing to do whatever it takes. You're willing to do whatever it takes to receive what God's called you. Some people let adversity and resistance scare them off or make them hard-hearted. But if you begin to understand that adversity and resistance is normal. It's part of life. Even all of God's great men and women throughout Scripture, Jesus learned obedience, the Bible says, through the things he suffered, right? Adversity, the persecution, the challenges, the enemy coming against you, okay? Like those things, if you understand that, you know, being in alignment with God and getting in alignment with God, that adversity and resistance can kind of help expose the areas of your life that are out of alignment. When something opposes you or resists you, and all of a sudden this flesh flash comes out, you know, curse words or anger or the desire to quit or to give up, what is that adversity and resistance doing? It's revealing to you the things that are out of alignment. Are you understanding? It's not the time to quit. It's the time to align. I didn't realize I was fearful. I didn't realize I was proud. I didn't realize that I was that when I was a quitter. I didn't realize I was that. But I see it now, and I'm willing to go through the narrow gate. And so thank God that that test or that adversity or resistance revealed that log. So what does this have to do with the Holy Spirit Conference? It's all process. It's the right process. You realize that God had to align us before he could fill us with his Holy Spirit, right? Jesus had to put us in position to receive the Holy Spirit. He came and he washed you with his blood, and he made you his body and his temple, and he positioned you and seated you with him in heavenly places so that you could receive. It's all about being in position. It's all about being aligned. Jesus had to align us so he could fill us. He has to align us so he could fill us. And that's all today's about. It's the same process. It's the same concept. Aligning and adjusting will also be a part of what the Spirit does in your life. So here's the thing. Part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not just to make you powerful, anointed, cast out demons, heal the sick, give you words of wisdom, words of knowledge, you know, raise the dead, all that kind of stuff. In receiving and welcoming the Holy Spirit into your life next week, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is constantly going to be aligning and adjusting our lives. So it's not even just like, let's get aligned and adjust to receive what the Spirit has for us. What the Spirit has for you will continue the process, an ongoing process of aligning and adjusting. We have to become good at this idea that we need aligning and adjusting. We align and adjust to receive. We align and adjust in Jesus, and that opens us up to receive, but we also align and adjust as we walk with the Holy Spirit. So first things first, if we're not aligned and adjusted to receive, then we won't receive. But then once we receive of what the Spirit has for us next week, there'll be continual aligning and adjusting. Did you follow that? See, even in that model, if they wouldn't have gone through the narrow gate of Jesus, they would not have been positioned to receive the filling of the Spirit. See, it still works itself through. John chapter 16, verse 8, and when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, Jesus speaking, he will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness in the coming of judgment. See, Jesus is telling us that the Holy Spirit's going to continue to align and adjust. When the Spirit of truth comes, John chapter 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he'll continue to guide you into all truth. Aligning and adjusting is part of why the Spirit comes. What would be the point of the Spirit moving in our lives if we're not open to letting him align and adjust us? Again, today is about adopting the concept, aligning and adjusting. Desperate for the change that he's going to initiate. The Holy Spirit, when he comes upon your life next week in a greater dimension, he's going to have you go through the narrow gate again. Not just of salvation, but I'm telling you, if he's going to anoint you for greater works and anoint you to do things, there's going to be things he's going to say, stop thinking that way, think this way. Are you willing to remove that habit? Are you willing to let go of this? Are you willing to align yourself with some other influences in your life and step away from some negative influences? And so it's about getting ready to receive what he has for you next week. Last Thursday, I was really excited. One of my favorite moments of the trip was I got to go to the upper room, okay? Last Thursday. That's found in Acts chapter 2, if you want to look that up later if you're new to the Bible. Acts chapter 2, Jesus told the disciples to go to the upper room, to wait till they were filled with the baptism or the promise of the Father, which would be the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was so emotional. I think I could have just stood there and we worshiped as pastors. It was awesome. And the way that the acoustics were in the room and stuff, it was just, the anointing was so strong. And I was just bawling because I was so grateful for this upper room. I was grateful, and I'll get into it in future days, but that upper room changed the world. Amen? As we were filled with the Holy Spirit, men, women, and children, slave and free. Love it. But let's remember, before they could receive of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit in the upper room, they had to go through the narrow gate and receive Jesus as their Savior. Right? That's all part of the process. But even then, this is another way that we align. Ready? There was a waiting period. I talked about aligning by choice. I talked about adversity and opposition can align us. But there was even an aligning that happened as they had to sit up there and wait for like 40 days. The reason I know that to be true is the Bible says that the waiting, I wrote it down, the waiting was also an alignment and an adjustment. It was a sifting where there was a group of 400 that saw Jesus ascend into heaven, but only 120 were willing to wait the 40 days to receive of the baptism. Does it make sense? You know, sometimes we don't realize how God is aligning us, right? We want him to align us in just one quick moment or just whatever, but sometimes even the waiting for what God is doing and promising, the waiting is part of the aligning. It's a sifting. You know, a lot comes out of us. Again, it helps us. It helps. The waiting could be a resistance, you might think of it, or adversity, but it reveals. In the waiting, I didn't realize how much of a spoiled brat I was and how I wanted it, when I wanted it, how I wanted it, right? And the waiting helped me see the log, the narrowness of God's not going to adapt to how I want him to do it. He has a way, he has a timing, and even that is going to help me find the log so I can have a choice of being aligned and be blessed. See, that waiting turned 400 people into 120 that were desperate enough to keep waiting forever if necessary, and they received the blessing. Who knows? I'm not going to prophesy this, but it may snow during the Holy Spirit conference. And I'm not saying go risk life and limb or anything, but let's just say it's a medium snow. Some people, you know, won't go out if there's a flake. But yeah, it may be cold. It may be snowy, but you get here. And maybe that's the narrow gate. Maybe that journey and making yourself uncomfortable, part of it. I'm just trying to add some thoughts there. But, you know, in the waiting, let's talk about the waiting for a second. We know in our mind, we believe in our mind, we know the most efficient way to get what we want when we want it. God, this is how you're supposed to do the miracle. God, this is how you're supposed to fulfill the promise. I'm going to pray my prayer, I'll come into agreement, and by tomorrow, I'm going to have what I want. Boom. I know the most efficient way for God to get me to the promise of the blessing. But do you know God doesn't always go the way you think is most efficient? He takes you the way he believes to be the most effective. Efficient. I was just reading this morning in my Bible how there was a shorter distance to get to the promised land, and God didn't take them the short way. He took them the most effective way through the wilderness. Are you understanding this? And in that waiting, in that wilderness time, God revealed a whole lot that was inside of the people of Israel, logs in their eyes that they didn't see. And he wanted them to see it so he could remove it, not to humiliate them, but so that he could bring them the blessings. I wrote this in my notes. Write this down. Waiting will reveal what needs to be aligned and adjusted. See, you're not in control during the waiting moments, even though you, in quotes, know the most efficient way, but maybe in God's mind, it's not the most effective way. Maybe his way, listen to this, is creating in you a far greater glory than you just receiving what you wanted. Hear this last thought here. Maybe when he's done, you will have grown into someone and not just received something. Maybe when he's done, you will have grown into someone and not just received something. In that upper room, these are my final thoughts. Pastor Brock, you can come. In the upper room, there were those that betrayed him, denied him, abandoned him. And they were all invited to the upper room. The reason I bring that up is this. I love Kirk's video that we watched in the beginning. He talked about not feeling worthy to be in the same room at the Holy Spirit conference with all these other individuals. So I've talked a little bit about pride. I've talked a little bit about, you know, concepts or whatever. But there also is something else that this narrow gate, you may need to let go of shame and guilt and obey God and go and sit through services you don't feel like you belong in and just trust the Lord. He said, I'm forgiven. He said that his blood covers and I confess my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The reason I say that is sometimes we'll allow the log in our eye is the guilt of yesterday. It's the shame of yesterday. And we don't realize that we're still operating out of regret. We're living our lives out of remorse and regret. We're not connecting to the new people God wants us to connect to because we don't feel worthy. We're not jumping into services and worship like everybody else in the Holy Spirit conference because we're still beating ourselves up for something that we wish we wouldn't have done. Are you understanding that? And it's like, are you gonna trust God or not? Are you gonna ask the Lord, cleanse me, wash me, forgive me, and I just leave the guilt and the shame. See, the disciples could have said, I'm not worthy to go into the upper room. I betrayed the Lord. We weren't there for him when he needed us to be there for him. I denied him, Peter. I denied him three times. I'm not worthy to go to the Holy Spirit conference. I'm not worthy to receive the promise of the Father. I'm not worthy. And Jesus is saying, are you going to trust me or not? I'm the Lord. And I'm telling you, you're worthy. I'm telling you, get in the upper room, whether you feel like you deserve it or not. You get yourself there. You do it. Because there's a blessing there. I'm aligning and adjusting you. So even if you feel that way, then today when we say, God, reveal to me what I need to adjust, if you have guilt, if you have shame, condemnation, repent, ask God to forgive you and leave it here. And go through the narrow gate and get yourself where God wants you to be so that he can continue to bless you. The ones who missed what God had for them in the upper room missed it by their own choice, not by a lack of an invitation. See, the 400 were invited, but only 120 made it. So what happened to the other, 280 or something? What happened to them? Some of them didn't feel worthy. They didn't go. Some of them felt God was taking too long. He should have done it sooner. They were too busy to be there. But again, God's not going to come and do it our way, which we think might be the most effective way, efficient way. He's going to do it his way, which is the most effective. The ones who missed it and what God had for them missed it by their choice, not by a lack of invitation. Don't miss what God has for you today. There's no need to. Don't miss it. Just begin to say, Lord, is there any area in my life that needs to be aligned or adjusted? I may not see it because it's a huge log and I'm blinded to it, but I ask that you reveal it to me. For me, it was getting baptized in that river. And then it actually opened up a whole lot of openness. Like remember I said, being above the line, open, wonder, curious. The Lord asked me to do something else I won't share with you. I haven't even talked to Marie about it, but I'll share with her later. The Lord asked me to do something else while I was there. And after I got baptized in the Jordan, I was super quick to do everything else God wanted me to do because I was excited to be in alignment, right? Actually, it was funny. At that little gate, when all the pastors had left, the Lord talked to me. He said, crawl through that gate. And I was like, what? Why do I need to get on my knees and crawl through that little gate? He said, don't ask me any questions. Just crawl through that gate. And that's where it started for me, saying, Lord, I'm done. I'm desperate enough to say, whatever you tell me to do, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready to break for breakthrough. I'm ready for the blessings. I'm ready to live the life that you have for me. That's going to require you being obedient to go through the narrow gates that God brings to you. Amen? Go ahead and stand up. Here's where we're going to close. I'm going to open the altars for you to come and spend some time to ask the Lord if there's any area for you to be aligned or adjusted so we can get ready and go through the narrow gate and receive what God has for us next week. And so if you need to receive Jesus as your Savior, I'm just going to ask for like one or two altar workers to be over here on the side facing that way. And if you want to commit your heart to Jesus, then ask them to pray with you and they'll help you. But all the rest of this here, I want to give you time to come down and to ask God to align and adjust you. This is your narrow gate moment. Search me, Lord. Help me to see if there's anything out of alignment. And I just want to give it to you. And then give it to him and be done and go obey and do what he says. So I'm going to bless you and I'll close in a word of prayer. This is the official closing. But if that's something that you believe you would like to do, just have a moment where you say, God, help me find the blind spot. God, I'm ready and willing to get in alignment. Then let God do that, okay? Let me pray over you and then you're officially dismissed and the altars are open. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you that you are not only our Savior, but you are the Lord of our lives. God, I ask today that you would show us our life is open to you. Help us to see what we don't see. God, align us and adjust us today. We give it to you. We want to make sure we're ready in order, in working order, to receive what the Spirit would have for us next weekend. God, we give you thanks. We give you praise. And we commit ourselves to you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name, amen. Altars are open. Feel free to come and go as you feel you need to.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.